Well, thank the Lord for being with us. And just for some of you who don't know, this particular training has been under consideration for quite a while, perhaps over up to 2 years or even longer. And we believe that the source of it is the Lord, and there is peace in the fellowship in the body amongst the brothers. And I would even say when it is known to some of the other co-workers in Northern California, there is a sense of rejoicing and a great encouragement that here in up here in the churches, we are somewhat, you may say, pioneering this type of a training, which probably since Brother Lee's days, we have not had. Now, you may say, well, we have ITERO, you know, the International Elders and Responsible Ones trainings for many years now, and we have, and those of us who have partaken of those trainings realize how much the Lord has used them, I would say in a very good sense, to preserve the recovery and to keep the, starting with the leading brothers or the responsible ones, and then on down to the saints, on a certain, shall we say, constricted path, a proper pathway going forward according to the teaching of the apostles and according very much to the ministry that has been given to us. And needless to say, according to even the instructions that our senior co-workers, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, has passed on to us. And that is a great thing. Now, what makes this particular training a little unique or different is the nature of it. And I don't mean in the sense of its intrinsic nature, because that will never change. I am talking about the focus or the emphasis or the emphases of this particular training. Whereas the ITERO trainings are more visionary, directional, and truth-based in nature, this training would emphasize more the practical side of the eldership, the practical side of the leadership, and I use that word quite carefully, in among God's people, and especially in the local churches, in the church life today. And so this is because over a period of time, according to our observation, there is such a need that seemed in many places gone unmet. Even though we have a lot of the rich ministry that we have today. So as we go back and peruse and study Brother Lee's ministry in particular, of course, very much also he stood on the shoulders of Brother Watchman Nee, we realize how much time actually in his ministry, and I'm talking about particularly in Taiwan, that is in the 1950s, when he came gradually out from under Brother Nee's shadow, if you will, to come on its own, to function as really the main leader among us in the Lord's work, and all the way down to this country, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, indeed to the 90s, until he departed from us. How much time he has spent actually on practical instructions, practical fellowship, and many times in the nature of a training. Two brothers, and I think there are a number of brothers here who have been here since the 60s or 70s or 80s can testify to that. I can surely testify to that. I miss the 60s because I was a kid coming into the recovery. So, but since the, and maybe even the 70s, you may say, but surely since the 80s and into the 90s, I have the privilege of sitting under Brother Lee's feet, as it were, to receive help from him in this regard. And I must testify to you, I am a blessed beneficiary. These words that we have put together in these outlines from the publications of this aspect of his ministry are so living to me, so dear to me. Many of them, I even can hear Brother Lee speaking them as if in his own words in my ears today. So we have the burden as a result to pass on this kind of a help that we receive to many more brothers who are being raised up by the Lord to bear the burden, the responsibility in the local churches for the Lord's testimony. And so with much prayer, much fellowship amongst the co-workers and some of the key leading brothers, we went ahead and decided to conduct such a training in Northern California. Now, I am standing here very, very full, and I hardly know how to begin, where to begin to speak. Just this morning, I asked my helper to send me what he can find from Brother Lee's ministry again concerning what? Concerning why we need to, in a healthy way, reconsider the matter of eldership in all the localities. And he's just sent it to me. And I don't know whether to start talking about that or just get into the training right away, but just let me just say this. He was saying at the time when this was given, this word was given, that in the recovery in this country has been around for 20-some years. So you can, that's in the 80s, am I right? Well, how long has it been now? Well, actually, 2 years ago, the recovery has been in this country for 50 years. 50 years is a long, long time. And he was talking about 20-some years at that time. He was burdened that we need a new way to practice the church life. And with such, after such a long time, all the elders should have some consideration of the condition of the eldership in the locality. Has it been? Is it prevailing? Is it getting old? Are there some other younger brothers who are in the localities who should come in to take care of the church's leading? And He started this way. I think because of this fellowship, we have the full ground to do the same. Of course, in a very prayerful way, in a very sober way, and surely in the way of fellowship, this very matter. The fact is that in Northern California, one of the oldest parts of the recovery in North America, the churches have been here for a long, long time, a long history. And the churches, you may say, have become old. And the eldership of the churches likewise, because just simply because of the years. And it is, according to Brother Lee's fellowship, a very good thing to consider the eldership in the locality. He gave us 3 points, according to 3 points. Number one, should the present elders resign or not? This is Brother Lee. It's not me. And is this necessary or profitable? Number two, are there some new ones who are younger that might be quite helpful and useful in the eldership? Number three, if the present elders remain, all or some, do some brothers need to be added who would be helpful and useful in the eldership? He say, because we are honest and we're for the Lord's business, for the profit of the church, and for the recovery as a whole, we should have a sober consideration and proper evaluation about the need of the eldership in our locality. And so he goes on and on to help us consider that, to consider age, to consider health, to consider capacity, to consider all these things. And so when about, 2 years since I have been coming up here to be with the brothers, this matter has been very, very much in my heart. And so through much fellowship, we brothers really feel that it is the time. It is high time for the churches in Northern California to have such a consideration. And this consideration has started, but definitely it is ongoing. All right. I actually hope that within this year of training, this kind of consideration will be there more and more in every locality. Now, we want to, at the same time, conduct such a training here to help us in that consideration and even to facilitate, to implement the burden that we may have, to build up, to strengthen, to, if I may use this word, this is the word that in Taiwan they use, youthize, youthize. You understand what I mean. To bring in the second generation, the next generation of leading ones, of responsible ones. We hope that this training would facilitate that. Why, brothers, and we come to the point, why do we need a training like this? Well, it is actually very, very simple, because to do anything, to do anything proper in life, in even the secular world, and the spiritual realm is no different. The divine realm is no different. You need to be trained. You need to study. You need to learn. You need to be perfected. You need to be fitted. You need to be equipped for the job. If you are an want to be an electrician, class A, class B, whatever, you have to learn those things about electricity, about, you know, installation, about electrical equipment, about currents, about plugs, about, you know, nowadays even computerized controls and all of this. so that you can be properly certified or licensed as a professional electrician. Otherwise, I won't hire you for sure. And if I hire you, I'm helping you to break the law. There's a law, industry law, that governs, right, the practice of electrical installation. And because this is such an important thing, if you cross the wires and you do things wrong, you will create grave, right, danger to the safety of the occupants. You burn the house down. So, but for some reason, we in the Lord's recovery, being quite spiritual, we don't think that way. We think if this brother loves the Lord and he is quite zealous and he is have a burden, well, praise the Lord, he is ready to do something. Well, when he is not a bit trained, not a bit equipped, just with a very good heart, thankful, thank the Lord, and even with an amount of faithfulness, but really ill-equipped for the job. So I make a joke. I said, that's why a lot of churches burn down. It's not because of the saints. It's because of the leaders. You know what I mean, quote, quote, burn down, meaning run into problems, all manners of problems. They don't know how to meet them. They don't know how to deal with them. They don't know how to shepherd the saints. They don't know how to administrate a local church in a proper way. They don't know really how to take the lead. And you will agree with me, I guarantee you, even by the end of today's training, this is only 3 of the 36 lessons, how unqualified you are. This morning, this last week, I've been studying this because I have to give the training. The more I study, the more I say, Lord, I am totally unqualified. That's my conclusion. Even this morning, I got up quite early, 5:15. I was thinking about these things. The more I think about these things, the more I say, who are you to do the training? You need to be sitting there to be trained. You are lousy. You are just not up to standard. Me. Now you have to do the training. Who are you? That's really my genuine feeling. I tell you, brothers, for any brothers to have the idea that they are an elder, and they're ready to be an elder, this is totally unsober. Totally not sober. You basically do not know what an elder is if you say that. If you know what is to be an elder according to this, you would say, Lord, not me. Not me. I'm not the right material. I am not the right material. And for even a present elder, when you get into this, you will say, Lord, my goodness, thank you that the house has not burned down in my watch, you know. It was surely your protection. Lord, I need to be trained. I need to, what, get some remedial help on how to serve you and your people in a proper way. Everyone would become humbled. Everyone would become what? Become needy. So I would ask all you brothers, young or old, to prostrate yourself before the Lord. No one here can afford to be proud, even a little bit. No one. Every one of us here should be humbled. Lord, help me. Lord, train me. Now, I think I better get into the burden today on this lesson one, but I would like to read some verses with you. Now, I'd like to say one more thing. I feel this training, my burden, is not just to give you some points and this and that, and they're all there, a lot of wonderful points, helpful points. I also like to use this training because we have, you may say, the representatives of the churches sitting in this room. That what the Lord would do to grace us with, what the Lord would do to help the brothers in this room with, he will have a way to help the churches through us. How much we are trained will affect our churches right away. So don't sit there as if this is just about you. This is about your locality. This is about the saints. So I would even like to say right now, first of all, about this training. Brothers, please, as we pray that consecration prayer, I would actually ask you to reread that prayer every week. And even re-pray that prayer in detail every week with all seriousness. I'm very serious about this training. I'm not taking this lightly. And I think you all should be extremely serious, maybe more serious than you have ever been in any kind of a training. Very serious. You mean business. You're here for something. Very, very high, something very, very noble, something very, very critical to the Lord's recovery, to the Lord's further move in the local churches. I really mean that. And I don't mean just for next year or this year. I'm talking about possibly for the next 30 years, 20 years, 50 years. Who knows? I hope you would all be very, very serious. I was the one who asked the brothers, maybe we should have a dress code. I'm not here so that we can all be like Mormons with a tie and a white shirt. It's not about that. But it is an indication of a certain seriousness and sobriety in the way even we conduct ourselves, in the way we present ourselves. And that should have direct impact on your local church right away. I've seen even in some places, the leading ones, they almost wear their flip-flops to the meeting, to their elders' meeting, dressed in a very sloppy way. And this is to conduct the affairs of the church. I don't care your church have 12 people or 1,200 people. That's not the point. The point is the seriousness. What are you doing? Just by your dress, I know you're not serious about this. This is just fun and games. No, that is wrong. I don't mean now you go back and, okay, everyone wear ties. Please don't do that. If you do that, you really need to be trained. Don't do that. I'm talking to you. Young brothers, you have to learn to be proper. The first thing in what? Aspiring to overseership is to be a proper person. We'll get into that right away in Roman numeral 1 of this outline. So, be serious, be sober, be what? Proper. Don't be sloppy. Don't be sloppy. And I say, this training is not just about today, one Saturday a week. This training is about every week. Because you're all going to go back. Every week you have to come together in twos and threes, fours and fives, whatever, in your or 8 or 9, however many. You know, we have 309 registered as of today. That means there's 8 or 9, on the average, brothers from every church 36 or 37 churches in Northern California. All right? And that is a good group. And the training is not just this Saturday. The training is you have to go back every week and come together and study these things. Get into these things. Paul says, what you have seen and received from me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. It is not just about listening to a lecture that I give here. It is about you, what? Getting into the things yourself and then practicing them. It takes exercise to be proper. Practice to be proper. Practice to be sober. It requires practice. Practice to be serious rather than light. Practice to be weighty. You know, there's a word about elders should be grave. Grave. You know that word grave? It means weighty, not light. Now, none of this is for a show, for a performance. Forget about that. It has to come from the inside. Nevertheless, it is a matter of practice. Practice these things. I would like to see within the month, next time I come here in March, I see you, there's already improvement. There's already improvement in you and in the local churches where you are. The saints will say, what happened to that brother? What happened to him? Something is taking place. And young brothers especially, do not despise your youth, but be an example and a pattern to the believers in so many things. Those things in word, in love, in purity, all those refer very much to the practical person. The way you do things, the way you handle things in the church life. The way you lead in the meetings, the way you stand up and speak, your gesture, your tone, your speaking, your spirit, all have to be exercised in a proper way. Then you are learning how to take the lead. So I would just ask you, now this morning, because of the word went out, that you all have to come here, what? Early. Am I right? 8:30 or... because you have to get registered and get sit down. I'm afraid next week, next time when we come, no such email will go out. When will you show up? 9:05. 9:10. If that happens, I will say, forget about it. You're not serious. You should be here without requirement. As a leading brother, as a learning one, as a responsible brother, as a habit, early to the meeting. And you should practice that when you go back to your locality. This is not about coming to this training. This is about your church life. When you are late, you expect the saints to be early. Where is the pattern? That's why your church life is sloppy. The whole church is sloppy because the leading ones are sloppy. The church is lazy because the leading ones are lazy. So be here early, not because it's a training rule. Be here early because that is a new culture that you need to build up in yourself and then in your churches. So that is one thing. And you should go to meetings, leading brothers, responsible ones, early. You should be the first. I don't mean you have to be there to do all the chair arranging, all of this. You should be there to take the lead. You should be the first. Leading one means leading one. It doesn't mean a director, a controller. It means the one who takes the lead to do things first. That is a real leading. To lead by example. So, right away, there may need to be a change, even in your own church life. Then the second thing, when you come here, don't just sit there. this morning your exercise of the Spirit is low. When I asked for two or three brothers to pray, no one prayed. Eventually, Dave Wilson stood up to fill the gap. And then Jacob and then another brother here. Why is that? The Spirit is weak. How can you be a proper leading one with a weak spirit? You are not qualified. Your spirit has to be strong, even boiling, burning in spirit, serving the Lord as a slave. You have to provide that example to the brothers and sisters. Why is the whole church weak? Because the leading brothers are weak in the spirit. I hope next time when we come together, right away, no need for it, just pick up your tack and sit down from the first row to the end. By the way, that is the third point I want to make. In the meetings, don't come and go shoot for the last row. Shoot for the third row. Always come to the front row and sit there and begin to exercise. Be early. What if we all come here at 8:15? How about this? Will I say, oh, you're too early? Please come later. Do you think I will say that? Do you think the saints will tell you, oh, leading brothers, please don't go, come so early. It makes us feel bad. Do you think so? You should be early. And exercise. And pray. All these things. I'll tell you, brothers, there is a not so secret burden I have for this training. And it's not just to raise the bar amongst us brothers, but to raise the bar in all the local churches. In a manifested way. Paul says, let your progress be manifested to all. That means visible. I like to see the landscape of the churches change. I like to see the culture of the churches renewed or built up in a new way. I like to see all the churches become different local churches. Not by some creed or code or of conduct, but by living examples of brothers who have become different, transformed, exercised. Trust me, brothers. This can happen if we are here with that kind of commitment and seriousness. I thank the Lord for so many younger brothers here. I want to tell you, start by picking up some good habits. Not the bad habits. There's a lot of bad habits among us in the churches. It's passed on. Actually, they are bad habits. Build up good habits in yourself and then in the churches. I must go on. I will read just another point. See, I'm giving you all these points. In many cases, I find, you know, even brothers don't bring their Bibles or hymnals anymore with them to meetings. Well, I know you have the smartphone, everything is there. But there's something about, you know, about this. You know what I mean? Bring your Bible, all right? Bring your hymnal. Okay, I'm not trying to mandate that as a rule, but all this can be culture. You know, there's a new one that went to a church in Southern California. At the Lord's table, everyone is doing this. At the Lord's table, everyone is doing this. I don't know, they're surfing or they are. Everyone is doing this with a glow in their face, you know, this glow. Well, you say, well, they're singing. The words are here. It just doesn't look right to me. Maybe I'm old school. It doesn't look right to me. Now, even I have things installed on my phone for convenience, you know, check out on this and that. That's okay. I'm not against that. Don't take me wrong. But a lot of habits really need to improve, to change. All right. Okay, I want to read three verses with you. And in many of our meetings, we don't read the Bible anymore. Isn't that a bad habit? I want to read to you 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Faithful is the word. That means in those days, it's a popular say. It's a popular word. And it's a faithful one, Paul said. If anyone aspires to the overseership, he desires a good work. All right? And we'll get into the outline to talk about this. But I'd like to emphasize here that this training is not a fast track to eldership. Forget about that. Whether you will become an elder or not is not up to me. It's up to the Lord who places the members in the body. It's up to the fellowship. So don't think that way. Then you say, why are we here in this training then? Well, because you need to know these things. We all need to know these things to be a proper serving one. But Paul quoted this saying, it is a what? If someone aspires, which is different from ambition, you read the footnote, just aspiring to the overseership, the oversight, that means the eldership. He desires a good work. As long as I can remember, since I came to the Lord's recovery, I have that aspiration. And I have to always deal with the Lord because it oftentimes is not so pure. You know what I mean. Just because my concept of eldership is somewhat positional at the time. But nevertheless, the Lord gave me the grace to aspire to be a proper leading brother. And brotherly even talk about aspire to be a co-worker. Now, how holy an ambition that should be. But anyone aspires to the overseership, he desires a good work. That's the word. He desires a good work. For a brother, especially a young brother, to have such an aspiration for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the church, is a good thing. I like to stir that up, tell you the truth, in a proper way. In the end, whether you become one or not, that's another matter. But the aspiration will cause you to have a certain kind of attitude, you see, in your pursuit, in your care for the church life. The other two verses I want to read in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, when we all know these two verses well. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. This is Paul talking to Timothy, whom he had what? He had placed in Ephesus to take care of the church there. In fact, all of 1 Timothy was filled with Paul's instructions to that young man in how to take the lead in that church. And here, speaking to him personally, okay, Paul's now talking to Timothy in a very personal way because he talked about him being from a babe, you know, knowing the scriptures, etc., because Paul knew Timothy quite intimately. Then he said, the scripture is God's breath. And it is profitable for a number of things. Number one, teaching, for sure. That is to teach the doctrines, right? The truth. The contents of the New Testament. But it is also good for what? It's good for conviction. Good for, the word is good for conviction. That means what? That means a kind of reproof. You get convicted by the word. It is good for what? Good for correction. Correction, that means you're going in this way. This will adjust you to actually to go on the right way. You're on the wrong path. The word will correct you. The word has a correcting function. And we all stand to be corrected, don't we? You've been always sitting. I have a back problem. And then my therapist said, you're sitting with a terrible posture. That's why you got all these problems. And now I have to, had a little thing, I have to learn now to sit in a good posture so I don't have more back problems. I never thought I need to be corrected in my posture. Now, as I'm getting old, I realize posture is so important to my health, you know. Brothers, do you realize how much correction you need? Are you so sure that the way you're going on is the right way? No, you shouldn't be so sure. You need to be corrected. And the word corrects you. And the word gives us what? Instruction in righteousness. That instruction is a kind of what? A kind of, footnote, discipline. A kind of chastisement in righteousness. It's like a kind of spanking. Sorry to use this word. A kind of rebuke. Not by somebody, but by the word. Through the Spirit, rebuking you. Rebuking you. Instructing you. Disciplining you. To make you what? To make you righteous. You know? In other words, to be right with God. And to be right with man. And to be right with yourself. Which really means, in other words, the kingdom life. Which is the church life. The reality of the church life today. Brothers, a lot that the word will do. And this is why our speaking today in this training is very much word-based. Not my concept, not your view, but the word. That word will do this work in all of us. Let's open to the word of God. Amen? Amen? Even the interpreted word of God of this ministry to correct us. Pray this prayer, brothers. Pray this prayer. Lord, convict me. Lord, correct me. Lord, what? Instruct me in righteousness. I'm open to you. Don't be nice to me. Don't be kind with me. Do these things to me that the man of God may be complete. That the man of God may be complete. Complete means what? Complete, listen, means perfect. Perfectly qualified. That's the meaning of complete. Paul, in his speaking, he said, I'm burdened for your perfecting. Be perfect, he said. That's Paul's word. And the word of God has the way of what? Has the way of qualifying us in a perfect way. And it says, fully equipped for every good work. Equipped means what? Fitted. Furnished. To do every good work in the church life. Brothers, this is the learning we need. And this is the purpose of this training. I give you these three verses this morning. The aspiration, proper aspiration, and then what? And then the what? Opening to the God-breathed word in these important functions. For so that what? So that we may be properly equipped and furnished to do the good work of leading the church life, the saints in the church life. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I said all these things. Amen. Did you get what I said? Amen. Brothers, you got what I said, huh? Amen. Now take these things when you go back and fellowship about them. Pray about them and practice these things. I won't be there. No brothers will be there. But you brothers in this locality, once a week, you must come together. We'll have an online site where you have to turn in your names, who are in that group in your locality, when do you meet, and the names, and a brief report of every weekly meeting. I like to see that. I'm going to read them and find out. And next time when I come, I will randomly ask, brothers, what did you do? Tell me, last week, what did your group in your locality do? Please. How about this? I'm not here to just have some light time. I'm here with all seriousness. If this is what the Lord wants to do, I want to do it all the way. And you should be likewise. You should be likewise. The Lord may through this touch many things in your life, many things in your being, many things in your disposition and habits that are what? Crooked, that are warped, that are what? Just even unbecoming, not up to standard. Let the Lord work. All right? Even with the help of the word of the ministry in these outlines. Let's come to lesson one. Number one, and I'm not going to give messages like in the semi-annual, you know, pour through every point, because you're going to get into them. What I don't get into, you will get into them. By reading through the outline, by using the, what, the ministry excerpt supplied, and also there are three or four questions to help you study these things, and finally, if you have time, even some references where you can go to for more reading. You say, my goodness, really? Really? Yeah, really. And the more, the better. It'll make you different. After this year, I know some of you will be very different. Sorry to say, I'm afraid some of you will not be that much different. The difference is how you apply yourself. Not answerable to me. You're answerable to the Lord. You're answerable to yourself. To yourself. Okay? Brother Lee told us, even forget everything. You should be answerable to yourself because you sacrifice so much to take this way. And yet you do it sloppily. You owe yourself something. Forget about even the Lord. You owe yourself something by paying such a great price to be in the Lord's recovery and yet end up in a sloppy, lazy, below the standard way. What a shame. Okay. The training of the elders. The first outline is why the training? Why do we need such a training here? Okay, one, regarding, let's read always the Roman numeral. Let's read it together. Regarding the learning and trainings of elders in 1 Timothy, Paul said that the elders must be orderly. The first thing Paul said is that the elders should be orderly. And of course, if you read the qualification of the elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which we will have another message next in March that we're going to get into, you see that what? That this matter of being orderly, and it is right there in chapter 2, verse 2, and you even have a footnote there in 2:6, okay? It means what? That word means decorous. Decorous. Meaning that a person behave himself in the most fitting way to a certain situation. Decorous. And so here, let me just go through the outline now. To be orderly is to be decorous. I mentioned that already. To fit the situation. So you're being a leading brother. The first thing is whether you are a decorous person. Whether you know how to fit in to a situation. Now, let's go on. I really like what comes next. The root word for orderly in Greek denotes to decorate something, to be not only comely, but also practical. Something comely, something nice looking. Yet something also very useful and practical. It's not a museum piece. Yet it is museum quality. Do you follow me? It's not just for display. But yet it is what? It is attractive. It is charming. It is respect inducing. It is decorous. But at the same time, very useful, very flexible, very practical. That is the quality, the main quality of an elder. To give it beauty in practicality. I just love these utterances by Brother Lee. Beauty in practicality. Are you like this? The saints look at you. They may not say anything. But will they exclaim in their inner being, that brother is comely. That brother is beautiful. And yet, so practical. So down to earth. So fitting, so proper. Praise the Lord, in the recovery, we have such leading brothers. Will they say that? I don't know. They probably won't come and tell you. But will they say that in their hearts? I want the saints to say this about me, not because I want to be somebody. You know what I mean? Because I should be like that. And if I'm not like that, then somewhat I'm disqualified. Okay, let's go on. This means that an elder must be equipped and remade. You don't get beautiful and practical by dreaming. You need to be remade into such a person. You need to be what? You need to be equipped to be such a person. Hence the training. Hence your pursuit and exercise. B, the way to be remade is by receiving the training. To be trained is to be remade to become beautiful, useful, and thus adaptable to any environment. Some brothers are simply not adaptable to environment. Inflexible, headstrong, stubborn, one-track-minded. Everyone has to meet his standard or conform to his ways. You cannot be an elder that way. Some elders, sorry, are just plain ugly. I don't mean physically, huh? You know what I mean. Just ugly. There's no comeliness, no attraction there. They don't invite reverence or respect. Some just laugh at their elders. This kind of brother. What is this? They despise. Two, let's read together. A word of explanation regarding inviting those learning to be elder to the elders' training. So this is a word about this training. Brother Lee is speaking for us. Why are you here? A, those invited to the training should not give people the impression that they are being trained and invited to the elders' training because they will soon be appointed to be elders. Got it? Forget about it. You may become an elder. You may even be appointed to be an elder. You may. But none of us should go around giving the saints impression with a nose in the air. That I'm going to be appointed because I got selected and recommended. No, that's a wrong attitude. Humble yourself. One, our purpose in inviting these ones is that they may, that many more young brothers will know the importance of elders, the need for elders, because as Paul has said, if anyone aspires to the overseership, he desires a good work. May it be in your heart, young brothers, and I especially speak those in their 30s, even in the 20s, to quote Brother Lee, may the Lord fill you with such a holy aspiration, because that is a desire for good work. I wish in the churches there would be such aspiration there. That says something, right? Okay, whether or not these ones eventually become elders depends upon their future performance and manifestation in the environment. It depends how you do. It depends on the manifestation. What comes out over time. All right. We deeply hope that after hearing such a word and seeing God's need, young brothers, you heard the word. Do you now see the need? I hope this training will help you see the need. The younger generation will pray, O Lord, have mercy on me. For your use, I want to have the portion of being an elder and bearing responsibility in your recovery. What a prayer. What a pure-hearted prayer. B, we believe that if two proper elders who have some learning, know the truth, and hold God's people in their bosom, and bear them upon their shoulders, are sent out, they will certainly raise up a church no matter where they go. I absolutely believe this. I absolutely believe this. I travel around. I'm involved with GTCA, planting new churches, and so on. Everywhere I go, it is plainly evident that the possibility of raising up a new church, the sustainability of that church, depends on whether there are trained brothers. Even if there are two of them, it makes a day and night difference. We need couples, we need families to anchor down the church life, but we need such brothers. So think about it, brothers. It's not even about you and your locality. The Lord may send you to who knows where in the coming years. Will you be ready? Will you be such a factor in any church, any place that the Lord sends you? Not only you will not be a factor of problems, but rather you will be a factor of blessing because of your learning. So this is about the spread, not even just about the present churches. Here, I'm burdened to see in Northern California, not 36 churches, but 70 churches. Amen? Why not? Many of them smaller, but that's how the Lord is spreading these days. Where are the leading ones? The problem in the 70s, whereas in the first 3 years, 70 to 73, the migration were successful because we have enough trained ones to spread around. By 73, 74, we failed. We have to consolidate. We ran out of trained brothers and saints. So this is about the Lord's propagation and spread in the future. Look at things that way. See, our problem today is basically that the elders in the local churches are weak. All right? This is the basic problem in the church life. Don't say the saints are the problem. No. No. I will tell you, the problem is not the saints. They are, but they're not the main problem. It's usually the elders or the responsible ones. They're weak. If the elders were strong and rich in spiritual matters, we would have had much increase. Don't blame the churches. When I go to the church, the first thing I look are not the saints. The first thing I look, who are the leading ones here? What are they like? What are they doing? Then I say, aha, of course. Of course the church is like that. Look at these brothers. It's that simple. All right. D, all the young people need to see the Lord's way clearly, receive a burden from the Lord, and be used by him to release his riches and grace. Young brothers, I talk to you again. Number one, today in the local churches, the Lord needs two groups of people, the co-workers and the elders. We all need to be clear concerning this point and learn to present ourselves and pray to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a co-worker or an elder. Well, let me expose myself. I pray that. I didn't even just pray, Lord, I want to be an elder. I pray, Lord, I want to be a co-worker. When? In my 20s. I don't know where that prayer came from. Maybe I heard something, and I prayed that prayer. I pray. I never told my wife I'd pray that prayer. I told nobody. It's just me and the Lord. I don't know whether that prayer will ever be fulfilled, or that prayer is pleasing to the Lord. I don't know. That's up to him. But I prayed that prayer. And that prayer changed me. Because I say, man, if you pray that prayer, you better be true to that prayer. You better do something about yourself. Don't just be dreamy. I want to be this, I want to be that. You better every day get yourself ready. Every day learn and be equipped. We have this idea that I'm sitting there and someday, somehow, someone take a sword and tap our shoulder and say, now you're an elder. You are appointed. That means nothing. Means nothing. If you're waiting for this, forget about it. It's not anyone appointing you. It's you, by virtue of your diligence and the Lord's calling, come into your function by your growth in life. And very much, not just your growth in life, by your much learning and disciplining of yourself. Moses needed 80 years to be ready for the job. 80 years. 40 in secular learning and 40 in spiritual learning. You think it is an easy thing? No. Three, let's read together. The need for an apprenticeship and the training of apprentices. So here in Numbers 8, and I won't get into it, you all have to study this. Numbers 8:24 mentions those who were 25 years of age. This was the age one began his apprenticeship, not for fighting, but for serving in the tabernacle. I think from age, 20? They can fight. And there's no upper limit. This is also in Numbers chapter 1. But this is talking about the Levites, which includes the priests, the house of Aaron. 25 is the time when one enters into apprenticeship. That means learning. For what? Not for fighting, but for serving in the tabernacle. Boot camp may take 2 months or 3 months, but to serve in God's tabernacle, 5 years. In order to learn how to minister in the tabernacle, it was necessary to pass an apprenticeship of several years in length. A great deal of learning was necessary for this ministry. Great deal of learning. This is God's ministry. All right? The eldership is, or priesthood is, God's ministry. Not a human profession or job. One, every aspect of the service in the tabernacle had to be exact. No mistakes were tolerated. Therefore, those who serve in and around the tabernacle had to be thoroughly trained to do things accurately. Brother Lee say, you all, talking to the elders, get into the book called Character. You know there's such a book called Character with 30 points? I know it because that's my textbook for I don't know how many years in FTTA. In fact, I translated it from Chinese to English back in the 80s. And to this day, 30 points of the character is like 30 mirrors around me. I have nowhere to hide my nakedness. That's Brother Lee. After a Levite had completed his 5-year apprenticeship, he was qualified at the age of 30 to serve in the tabernacle. That's why in the leadership in the churches, we have brothers who learn, who are called learners. All right? It is in the principle or the spirit of an apprenticeship. And this is right. Sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, but there is such a need for learning. See, we have seen that the Levites between the ages of 30 and 50 were the ones who bore the testimony. All right? You know, if you read Numbers, what these Levites do. They all have very definite assignments. You know, this house, I forgot the name, you know, the three different families, right? You take care of what? Of the covering of the tabernacle. And then some would take care of the boards. Some take care of the utensils and the furniture. Some take care of, you know what I mean? All very, very what? Fine, you know, arrangement or assignment for them to do. And even how they pack up, there's instructions. Detailed instructions. Because they are touching holy things. The tabernacle. That tabernacle today, brothers, is the Lord's testimony of Christ and the church. Amen. This is a holy things we have to handle. The affairs of the church, the affairs of the saints, the affairs of the Lord's work, these are all the aspects of the Lord's testimony. And if you're not trained, you don't know how to handle them. You will mishandle them. And, oh Lord, how many mishandling I have seen in the churches. Brothers just stepping on toes, going overboard, overreaching, or underreaching, doing things they should not be doing, saying things they should not be saying, or not doing things that they should be doing. And so you get a messy situation. There's a loss of peace and order and a sense of security in the saints of the leadership of the churches. Why? Because the brothers are bumbling and fumbling. Not doing things in a proper way. Let me just use a physical, just as outward. This is an outward illustration. In my learning from Brother Lee, that was when I was in Anaheim, how much talk he gave to us about the physical meeting hall. You know, the meeting hall, physically, it's the outward. He said, I come to the meeting hall, where about the chairs, about the books, about this, about that. He said, if I come as a new one, I will not come back again to your meeting hall. This is speaking to us. I would say, what kind of people, this is Brother Lee, huh? What kind of people is this? Just by looking at the hall, you know what kind of people. The books are here, the hymnals are strewn about from last meeting, last week. Oh, the meeting is over. Let's clear off here. Everyone abandoned the hall, and the hall looks like a mess. Waiting for next Lord's Day, somebody come and clean it and set up the chairs. To this day, when I come to a place, I look at the chairs. I have great interest in the chairs. Brothers, we are not here to be luxurious. We are not here to be, you know what I mean, in that kind of a way. My brothers, cleanliness, orderliness, right? Propriety. This is just outward. And you would think Brother Lee will talk to us all about spiritual things. You are wrong. But that's outward. That's just the outward. But the outward reflects the inward. Amen. It's like that because inwardly you're like this. You're not orderly yourself. So you don't care if things are not orderly. When I go to a restaurant, you know, you go to Yelp, you know, how many stars, right? You know what I mean? But to me, at least of the five stars, at least one star belongs to the restroom. I don't care how good the food is. If the restroom is bad, you one star off my list. I don't Yelp. I'm just using that as an example. The restroom. You know what I mean. You can go to a super nice restaurant with the best food. You go to the restroom. You just want to run out of there. You understand what I mean? And Brother Lee checks the restroom. And he started out in 1940s with the great revival in Chifu, helping the saints to clean the old-time restrooms, which is just a hole in the floor. But he would take the lead to do the best cleaning of that hole in the floor. That brought forth a revival. Don't have this kind of spiritual thinking. Oh, we don't care, we're just spiritual. Everything is a mess. I look at some of the bookstore or book area. I said, what is this? In the churches. If I go there, I don't want to buy a book from you. Even I think the books are lousy because it looks terrible. The display, everything is just a mess. The best books. I tell you, the best book deserves the best packaging. Am I right? You say, it's packaging. Who cares? It's the reality that counts. Well, talk to Brother Lee. He cares. Okay, I'm too much. Oh, time. Let's go on. A great many people are needed for the Lord's testimony, all of whom are for the tabernacle, either directly or indirectly. All right? You've got to read the excerpts to appreciate what Brother Lee is talking about here. Some directly, some indirectly. All of them care for the tabernacle. Presently, we're seriously lacking those who know how to care for the tabernacle in a fine way in order to carry the Lord's testimony. Care for the tabernacle in a fine way. The fineness reflect your character. The way you take care of a church, you administer a church, reflects on your character. If you're not fine, your church life will not be fine. And your speaking will not be fine. Four, in the Lord's recovery, we need a group of experienced ones who have been trained to bear the testimony. D, many have the aspiration to be elders, but along with this aspiration, they need to be trained. Brothers, this is why we have this training. There is a need for, great need for training. A super need. The elders should have the burden to train others. There may be four elders in a locality, but there should be many more apprentices. Many more apprentices. However, some churches have been in existence for years, and yet no new elders have been produced there. For this reason, we are short of leaders. From the migrations in the 1970s, we can see that it is not sufficient simply to aspire to be an elder. There's a need of training. Only through training can a brother become a proper elder. Here's a brother. His inborn capacity is not that great. Not that great. But you know what? He has a learning spirit. He disciplines himself. He corrects himself. He improves. Here's another brother. A lot of capacity. Bright. Clever. But what? No heart. Take things for granted. Do not learn and do not improve. I say this brother will probably make a better elder than that one. Even with a little less capacity. Because the person is right. How good it is that we have both. The God-given capacity and the proper person. All right? We are short not only of elders, but of leaders in the church service. The responsible ones, the deacons. You know, in the Exodus, there are two groups in God's administration. One are the elders, 70 elders. Remember that? Even they went up with Moses halfway up the mountain. Those are the ones who are mature. Those are the ones we'll see in the latter sessions today. But they are what? They're also another group. These are the ones who are captains. Make, you know, in chapter 18 of Exodus, the picture of the kingdom. That's what it's talking about there. It's not talking about the elders, but about captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, and captains of tens. These are not to be confused with the elders. I would like to apply this by saying that those are the responsible ones. Those are the deacons. Those are who take the lead in services. There's a kind of an order there, all right? And we need that also in the church life today. Where are we? Are we in E? Okay. Instead of organizing things, we should learn to take care of the young ones and to train the apprentices. This is a word to the present elders. Brothers, if you are presently an elder, that's what you should be doing. Not organizing things. Your church may be already overly organized by you. You should not just go on organizing things. Take care of the young ones and perfect them. Train them as apprentices. These are the ones who is over age 50. 25 to 30 are those who are apprentices. 30 to 50 are those who are officially bearing the burden of the tabernacle. And those who are 50 retires. That's the word in the recovery version. They retire. But that doesn't mean they don't do anything. They have a very important work to do. And that is to mentor. To minister to their brethren who are on the learning stage and even those who are actually serving by their experience. This is what the older elders should be doing and not just sitting there just to be the elder. More and more and more and eventually become the leading elder, the super elder, the boss elder. No, no, no. We should be constantly raising up. You see, mentoring the young ones. by caring for them and shepherding them. I must tell you, this is what I do all the time. It's not about me keeping the job. It's about me working myself out of that job and putting into the hands of many others. All right. The reason the elders in certain places have not produced any useful ones is that they have not trained anyone. Who have you trained? Can you name them? I have trained that brother. I have trained that brother. We need to do that because it's not an easy job. Three, we need to be like carpenters making furniture. If we cannot obtain the best wood, we should use whatever wood is available. And if there's no wood, we use cardboard. This is Brother Lee. I love Brother Lee. kind of crass, kind of little, you know. That's really Brother Lee. Use what you have. You know, Chinese have a saying. Use what you have. Don't compare, oh, I wish I'm there. I wish we had that brother migrating here. Use what you have. By the way, churches should not compare with each other. That's not healthy. You be faithful, right, to what the Lord has given to you. Likewise, if we do not have the most qualified people, we should train the people we have. If a carpenter knows his trade, he'll be able to make tables out of almost any material. We like to be like this in the Lord's recovery. I have seen plenty. Unpromising ones. Less than good material, to my figuration. After so many years, they emerge to be the best elders. Even some of the good, commendable co-worker, which at one time I thought, not so sure. Also, I've seen some that I thought, my goodness, this is a rising rock star, you know. I don't use that word, but you know what I mean. Oh, this person has potential and future. And about 5 years later, that man is gone. It's like raising our children. It's the same principle. Brothers, the main thing, it's of the Lord's mercy and the Lord's sovereignty. Who will be raised up by him? It's him who calls, not us. But we've got a job to do. Older brothers, we have a job to do. That is to train. That is to mentor as much as we can. Shepherd as many of the young brothers as we can. Finally, F, all those who are presently elders should have both the desire and the ability to train the apprenticeships. So, brothers who are presently elders, I will tell you, this is your job. This is your real job. It's not just you always directing the administration in your locality, but you will spend much time and even acquiring some ability in training the younger ones generation after generation. So I'm quite good. This is 10:30. I think the plan is now we have a break of about half an hour. The brothers will say something, and then we come back here, I would say, actually more like 25 minutes, come back at 5 till for our next meeting. Is that right, Jim?
Yes.
How about we now have at least a minute of prayer, two or three, just have some prayer, and then we can have this break. Amen.